The fifth quarter.
Potentially.
As long I reckon it was an important inclusion.
Yeah, I don't see him going out of the side for next week. Obviously, Parfitt won't be playing. You'd think that Sean Higgins is, you know, the most obvious person to come in given his experience. Or Simpson. I just wonder.
Well, Simpson played the three finals last year.
If it was me, I'd be dropping Holmes out of the side and bringing in Simpson.
Oh, no.
The Jake Lever, you might be able to tell us, Neildy, Jake Lever, Stephen May, who takes them? Does Asava get a role on one of those two?
I think it's important what we saw tonight with the four players up there who can take a mark. And if you're going to make, if you like, Jake Lever, who plays a similar game to Nick Haynes, so they want to try and make him accountable. You can do that with marking players. So the weather might have a bit to do with that, but given it's in Perth, if it's a night like tonight, or you know, your normal Perth night, play the four marking forwards and do what they were doing early. If some whoever's on Lever hit up and honour that lead and give him something to think about. But yeah, you've got marking players around Lever and May. That's a good thing for the Cats.
Phones 52-232-955. Next level skirmish double pass up for grabs. Marcus has joined us on the line. Marcus, thanks for your call.
Yeah, g'day boys. I was just wondering about Reece Stanley. So he's had a couple of good games, I reckon, in the couple of finals that he's played. But apparently Tim English is up for grabs. And I was wondering, do you reckon the Cats should go after Tim English?
Yordi?
Well, if that's the case, it's worth a question or a phone to his manager. The biggest stumbling block will be the money. And that will, you know, for Geelong to get in a ruckman and pay them top dollar. And English, he's not going to come cheap. He's an outstanding player. I don't know how Geelong get him into the salary cap, because Tim English would demand a much higher figure than what Reece Stanley is playing for. But it's worth a question, and then if they've got room in their cap, but I don't think they have.
They haven't, and English is contracted. He'd go back to WA if he was going to go anywhere, and I've got to be honest, he's... Well, certainly Luke Beveridge doesn't rate him that highly as a ruckman, and he's been beaten pretty soundly by the best ruckman in the league in the last couple of months. He's a good player, but he just struggles around the contest a bit.
I think he's a good player, and he'll develop into a 10-year AFL player. But it's a good question, Marcus, but again, that sort of stuff really does mean that Geelong have to go back and change their salary cap modelling. A lot might depend on what happens next week.
Well, it's a good question, because Gorm was the difference in that last quarter against Geelong, wasn't
he? Yeah, he had 11 possessions, and he's 900 centimetres tall. Yeah. And he touched the ball 11 times and then kicked the winning goal like he was Maurice Rioli.
But he's going to do that again. Geelong need more. Reece Stanley is not going to beat Max Gorn one out whole night. He's just not that good. He's just not good enough.
He's not going to beat Max Gorn. He can't allow Max Gorn to beat Geelong.
Yeah. Well, that's
what he's got to do.
He will, and that's tough work.
He actually played quite well in the first half of that game against Melbourne, and then in the second half was absolutely pants. He actually was good, but he can't allow Gorn to take the game over.
No. Well, he won't want to. He'll try his best, but you are talking about a five-time All-Australian and the All-Australian captain. Gorn can seriously play.
Yes. Geelong are going to need a lift too, and I know he's ended up with 20 touches, but Patrick Dangerfield was well below his best again tonight. I don't know how much that finger is worrying him. He only had 15 effective touches, 4 inside 50s, no shots at goal. He did have 7 clearances, but he really didn't have an impact on the game. I wouldn't have thought he'd be in Geelong's best 8 players on the night. He's had 2 what you would classify for a player of his calibre poor finals. Yeah. Certainly was poor against Port Adelaide, marginally better tonight. But if they're going to beat Melbourne, Patrick Dangerfield needs to bring his best. Joel Selwood was tagged out of the game effectively tonight by Matt DeBoer. DeBoer's ended up with 22. Selwood has had 8 effective touches. No doubt the skipper will rebound. Probably doesn't get tagged next week. The Cats, and Neildy said it ad nauseum, that Geelong need their best players to stand up. Tonight, Hawkins stood up. He's kicked 5. Cameron stood up, kicked 2-2. I thought Menegola was really good. He was abysmal last week against Port Adelaide. He's had 29. Tui's come in and played a really good role. Guthrie was better, and Isaac Smith was consistent again. I thought Mitch Duncan was probably better tonight than he was the previous week, even though he's had about 10 less possessions.
Yeah, I think two of the important players for Melbourne that Geelong, they don't have the one person, I don't think, that can go with these players all night, but it will be a team effort. They have to do something about the impact of Oliver and Petrarca.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's easier said. Those guys are
guns.
Absolute guns. They're in the prime of their careers. But the setup around the stoppage, in that last quarter, and we'll harp back to that, they left the front of the stoppage open. Those guys are guns, and they see it, and they one grab the footy, and they're gone. Now, they also, Geelong were really slow to leave the contest that night. They'll have to look at that, and it won't be, there's no, again, Geelong don't have the one player that's going to go to them and stop them, so it's going to be a team effort, some structure stuff, but they'll have to change it a little bit.
Geelong's midfield have to lift massively on what we've seen in the first two finals,
and they have to be more accountable tonight. Yeah. They potentially were a little bit more accountable.
Yeah, they're better. Yeah,
so they weren't accountable against Port Adelaide, and they certainly weren't accountable against Melbourne the previous week. And I agree, finding ways to nullify Oliver Petrarca and Gawn. If those three are influenced, you're not going to stop them.
No,
but if they're nullified in terms of taking the game over, Geelong will be right in it. If they're allowed to dominate, I think the Cats are probably going to be in a little bit of trouble.
If they start, yeah, you're right. If they win some contested ball and can break away, or Oliver and Petrarca start winning some footy that's uncontested, Geelong are in strife. But again, those three players were on the ground when Geelong got 45 points in front. So they are able to do it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mark Neild in the expert's chair for Wilson's Real Estate. Pete Ryan from The Age joining us tonight as well. Fantastic to have Pete with us throughout the evening, and will be with us again throughout the rest of the finals as the Cats have booked themselves a spot in an 11th preliminary final in 15 years. And the incredible thing is Joel Selwood has played in each and every one of them since 07. 07, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 16, 17, 19, 20 and 21. In 12, they were out in an elimination final, 14 out in the semi-final, 15 missed the finals, 18 out in an elimination final. He's going to go very close to breaking Michael Tuck's record for most finals, Joel Selwood. I think 39 for Tuck,
yeah,
and Selwood's at 36,
yep,
off the top of my head. So he won't get there this year, but play finals next year, and incredible.
Yeah, he just needs the long sleeves and a beard, and he'll be Michael Tuck next couple of years.
He was a fair player, Michael Tuck.
He was a fair player.
426 games and 1,000. Benny talks about Isaac Smith playing in how many? 7,000 premierships. Michael Tuck legitimately played in 7,000 premierships, Benny.
He did. He did, Kingy. And just watching some highlights of the game and just some of the kicking of Jeremy Cameron's outstanding, isn't it? Field kicking. He's kicking for goals outstanding as well. But he set up a couple of goals, and Tommy Hawkins' mark and handball from the wing. So I've got to find a way to bring that next week. And I mean, I wonder too that you never know, get in the psyche of a team. But Melbourne have had 2 weeks now to think about playing in a grand final. They're the premiership favourites. They'd be thinking that they're in really good form. The expectation is probably on them to win. I just wonder how that plays out. We saw that in 2007 with the Cats when they were clearly the best team. They got to the prelim and fell over the line against Collingwood before doing a number. Sometimes they say, and I don't know how true it is, but the prelim can be harder to win than the grand final, and especially for the team that has all the expectations. So if Geelong could start well, maybe make them a little Bruce Nan Curvis. You never know, Kingy, what might happen, because the old Demons, they might get Ian Nan Curvis, and absolutely, you know, what a diff.
Unless the margin got to 50 points, Benny, I wouldn't be comfortable with the Cats next week.
No, not after what happened down here, Kingy.
We're going to take a break. Come
are
back.
We?
Yes, we are.
Rightio.
More of your calls, 52232955. We're hoping to tap into Chris Scott's media conference either via Zoom or via Channel 7. So stay with us to hear what the coach of the Cats has to say about tonight's performance. Geelong by 35 points, breaking a three-game losing streak against the Giants and continuing their pretty impressive semi-final run. It must be said, the Cats, when they lose a qualifying final, for most part, they actually win the semi-final and get through to the prelim.
Or in the Bulldogs win tomorrow night too.
Do you really, Benny?
Beat the Lions.
We're on air from 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Bulldogs CEO, Amit Baines, he's going to join us.
Is
pre-game.
He?
Yeah.
Oh, I better do some research.
He's joining us.
Asking about ABBA. He'd love ABBA.
Off the top.
Waterloo.
You completely threw David Matthews with that question.
He'd never heard of ABBA.
I listened to their new song this morning.
Any what? Good?
Have they got a new catchy song?
Yeah, no, they've come out today. What? They've got a new song.
Goodness me. Yeah. What's happened is Benny went down to the ATM, put his card in, and the balance had dropped below 7 zillion. So they thought, let's just have a tour and we'll just go out and sing a couple of old Waterloo or whatever else they sung.
Mamma Mia.
And then they'll be off and they'll make $90 billion and they'll get back and back to Sweden in the hot tub.
No, Frieda, of course. The late What's Frieda.
Oh, no, she's gone. Yeah. But anyway, Benny and Bjorn and... Is that what I'm saying?
And
Yetta.
Who?
And Yetta. And Yetta, that's it. Yeah, that's it. I
saw ABBA in 1975. I was six. My music
bowl.
I was six.
Yeah, Mum and Dad took me to the My Music Bowl and saw ABBA.
Well, we might take a break there. Thanks to ABCO. Now, over 70 grand in prizes in ABCO's Go for Goal, Scratch and Win. One in three chance to instantly win at ABCO today. Live, breathe, carry on footy. The fifth quarter.